865.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line, as we launch into yet another edition of the live Saturday version of our program. Again, it is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Want to welcome, finally, officially, to our family of happy radio affiliates, WCK, Supertalk 1570 in Flint, Michigan. This is officially our first weekend with them on board, though I think there was a test run that went successfully last week. They'll be joining us on a delay broadcast basis from 6 to 8 o'clock in the morning on Sundays.
Well, catch them on the way to church.
Wherever they're going, at 6 in the morning on Sunday, or maybe just coming home from a night out. You know,
fishing, either, perhaps.
Yeah, either way, you're going to be getting Free Talk Live in Flint. So,
it's a heck of a night if you're coming home at 6 a.m.
Welcome aboard. Without further ado, we get to our guest who is on the line. His name is Danny LaDonne, and he is the programmer of the Super Columbine Massacre RPG. We've had Danny on the show in the past before to talk about his game and what it all means and the controversy that surrounded it. And that's not the reason we're having Danny on today, though it's certainly what he's most notorious for. We're having him on today because, Danny, you've gone and made a film about all of this whole video game violence controversy, and it's called Playing Columbine. Is that right?
That's correct.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live, Danny. What's the film all about?
Thanks for having me on, guys. So
sure.
The film is basically a summary of all the things that happened over the course of the life of the game. If you want to think of the Super Columbine video game as the main character of the film, you sort of follow its pitfalls and its high points over about a year and a half long period, from its initial release to the time that it was outed as being this this product that got a lot of people angry or that was very controversial. And then there was the shooting in Montreal in Dawson College, and the game was sort of singled out as perhaps one of the influences into why this occurred. And then it was a finalist in a game developer competition at the Slam Dance Film Festival in 2007. And it was pulled out just weeks before the competition by the festival director. And this prompted a lot of other game developers to pull their games in protest. They say, this is wrong, this should stay in. It was judged and it needs to be a part of the competition. And so this film kind of picked up all those threads, and it sort of carries them a little bit further to figure out why all these things happened, why a video game about Columbine is controversial when a film or a book about the same subject is not, things like that.
Now, you originally programmed this, help me out, the
Super Columbine Massacre RPG.
Yeah, the Super Columbine Massacre RPG. You originally programmed that as just sort of some therapy for yourself and maybe some friends could play it. You made it available on the Internet, and it really blew up into something, right?
That's right. I mean, I made this for a couple reasons. One, because as a Colorado high schooler at the time of the shooting at Columbine, that event was particularly striking for me personally because I saw perhaps some similar resemblance between the shooters and myself, and it forced me to introspect and think about what was going on in my own life. And then years later, I discovered this way to make a video game and decided, you know, I should make a game about this topic because after Columbine, of course, video games were front and center for the criticism as to why the Columbine shooting might have happened. And I saw so many myths, these pervasive kind of, oh, they were goth kids, and they listened to Marilyn Manson, and this is why the shooting occurred. And I wanted to make a video game that told through the eyes of the killers themselves perhaps why they did what they did.
Now, and you really did. There's an exhaustive amount of evidence, information about what went on and these boys, more than I ever found out in the news. And I guess I want to ask you, you know, when I heard about Super Columbine RPG, I was a little disgusted. Like the idea that one could play the video game, one could be the killers. It sounded to me like a celebration of goth kids shooting, children and teachers in the hallways of their school. That's how it seemed to me. And one could take it that way. There's no doubt that one could look at it that way. But when I think about a book that's, say, written from the perspective of the killer, I don't really think of it as anything but a, you know, the way, you know, it's a book. I don't think of it as any way at all. I don't think that it's good or bad or any of those things. I don't assign anything to the author. I don't say, whoa.
Why do you think that is?
And that's the question I'm asking Danny. Why do you think it is, Danny? Because my reaction is...
And you're a gamer. It's not like you're some parent that has never played a video game either.
Yeah, well, you know, but I've got the soul of an old man. So I want to know, Danny, what do you think? Why do you think it is that it's different?
Well, certainly, if I wanted to make a video game that glorified killing children, I wouldn't have spent 6 months researching the Columbine shooting itself and putting in all these primary sources.
Seems like a lot of work.
I think part of it is, you know, what do you expect out of a book? We have a range of experiences that we could get out of a book. We can go to a book for entertainment, certainly, like Lord of the Rings or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We could go to a book to learn something about a particular topic, like, say, libertarianism. But video games have traditionally marketed themselves for one type of experiment, one type of experience, and that's entertainment. And so you, as a consumer of media, assume that video games are going to do that entertainment for you. And the idea that a video game could instead educate or influence your opinion about something is a bit untested. But the film playing Columbine attempts to demonstrate, not just through my game, but through many games that new game developers are trying out, to use video games as a means of social experimentation.
Or commentary, or social commentary. I found that one of the more interesting parts of the presentation of Playing Columbine, which, by the way, your website is playingcolumbine.com. You can go and see a preview of the film. You can order order a DVD, a limited edition DVD there, playingcolumbine.com. So it was neat seeing those other games that were also making statements and seeing that, you know, this is starting to expand out. This subcategory, this genre of video games seems to be becoming a little bit more popular now.
Right. You know, one game that didn't make the cut because it just came out very recently, but I figured you guys would be into, is called Police Brutality. And Police Brutality is about the guy who was known for the "Don't tase me, bro" phrase. And this is a game that takes place on that very day, and John Kerry's on the stage, and you're a member of the audience, and what do you do? You know, so, and that's just one of many examples. There have been video games about Darfur, a video game about the Waco situation back a few years ago. So video games are becoming a way, not necessarily in the big commercial scope, but certainly on the online, you know, independent game development world, to explore our world in an interactive way.
Yeah, I they absolutely are, and they're really burgeoning in that area. And, you know, video games are kind of funny. I think I'm somewhere near the oldest of gamers out there. I'm 37 years old, and I play video games.
Isn't the average age 33 or something like that?
I think that's correct.
The average age today is 33 years old. And one thing to point out, Mark, is video games used to be for adults. The very first video games were put in pool halls and bars and taverns, places like that, with the old stand-up arcade games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only with the home console systems like Atari and Nintendo in the early 80s that we began to see a home market, and suddenly it was a toy for children.
Hmm.
And now we have to sort of break that stereotype that, in fact, video games are only for kids.
Right. Not only is it an adult-based medium in many ways, but it's also becoming more of an art form than it ever has been in the past, I think, and more respected for that. And the fact that you've got games that are social commentary, I think, points that out.
I think we're leaving something out, though. If you, I mean, there's a age group, you know, that where most people don't play video games, aren't interested in video games, don't see video games as a part of life. I think over 45.
Okay.
I think maybe over 40. It's getting, you know, I'm 37. I'm getting close. I believe I'm close to the edge. My wife totally doesn't understand. Her brother totally doesn't understand. It just, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to find a phenomenon here. I haven't done any studies on it or anything.
Well, one thing that's pointed out in the film, it's very eloquently stated by the president of the Game Developers Association. His name is Jason Della Roca. He says, you know, we don't call people who watch TV watchers. We don't call people who listen to their iPods as listeners. So there will come a day when we won't refer to people who play video games as gamers, because we'll just all be gamers and we'll all do it.
Danny, hang on. We're going to bring you back, and actually we're going to bring an extra element in here, and thanks to you for setting this up, but Jack Thompson, the anti-video game violence attorney, has made quite a name for himself fighting so-called video game violence. We're actually going to bring him in here for the conversation, so hang on, Danny. More with Danny LaDonne, the director And producer and everything guy behind Playing Columbine, a true story of video game controversy. We continue this discussion and take your calls as well. This is Free Talk Live.
The cynic says, I started losing my hair and there was nothing I could do. I wore a baseball cap because I was self-conscious. The believer says, I started using Amacor 2 months ago, and already I'm regrowing my own hair. My bald spot is going. No caps for me. Are you a cynic? Amacor's formula is FDA approved to regrow your own hair in as little as 2 months. Amacor's topical formula contains the only ingredient approved by the FDA to regrow hair without risk of sexual side effect. Call right now and ask about getting a free month supply of Amacor and receive Boost just for trying Amacor. Boost can make your hair visibly thicker with its first application. Call 1-800-451-8920. That's 1-800-451-8920. This is a limited time offer, so call now. Call 1-800-451-8920. 1-800-451-8920. Or log on to AvacorRadio.com.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? TebowTech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, TebowTech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The TebowTech Essentials package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of TebowTech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's TebowTech.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know the accumulation of acidic waste in the body is the single largest cause of disease such as cancer or diabetes? Acidic waste is created by the types of food we eat, what we drink, the environment, and our high-stress lifestyles. It's these choices that cause decreased energy, weight gain, and eventually disease. The easiest way to reduce disease-causing acidic waste is by drinking alkaline ionized water. At SnyderHealth.com, we offer a full line of alkaline water ionizers from Jupiter Science, the leader in water ionization technology for over 25 years. Instantly transform ordinary tap water into clean, living, energized water containing alkaline minerals, disease-fighting antioxidants, and highly absorbable oxygen. Now you can easily and effectively rid your body of harmful acidic waste with alkaline ionized water. Let SnyderHealth.com provide the water ionizer that's right for you and your family. Call us today at 877-356-2508 and visit us online at SnyderHealth.com. That's SnyderHealth.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is the live Saturday edition of the program, and you can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us, and they include archives. So if you've missed a moment of the show, go and grab up to an entire year's worth of Free Talk Live right there on the front page of the website for your downloading convenience. Again, that is freetalklive.com. Sickle CAI is a company that has a full-orbed approach to account recovery. It's really three companies in one. They do collections, early outbilling, and they purchase charged-off receivables. Sickle knows the way they treat your customer reflects on you. Their staff is respectful, they record every call, and they have the best equipment money can buy. So your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner at freetalklive.com. That, again, is Sickle CAI. We're back with Danny LaDonna. He is the programmer of the Super Columbine Massacre RPG, but by trade you're actually a filmmaker, Danny, and you actually went ahead and made a film about your experience in the entire Columbine game situation and all of the travels that you went through and the trouble and the tribulations and all the issues. And in fact, Jack Thompson was actually in your movie. How did you manage to get Jack Thompson to agree to that interview? What was that tricky?
I wouldn't say it was tricky. I'll sort of say this. You know, I from the beginning, I as the controversies of the game unfolded, and again, I'm not a professional game programmer, and I think the game reflects that. But I quickly realized that there was enough going on to make an interesting film. And so, as a filmmaker, as someone who does this a lot for businesses and for my own projects, I'm now in grad school working on my MFA in film. I thought, you know, this is just something that needs to be made into a movie. And HBO wasn't exactly calling me up, so I said, all right, I have the equipment. I'm just going to go out and do this myself. And so I started researching who I would want to include in this movie, because I think a movie about me walking around describing my experiences would be pretty boring.
Right.
So there's about 50 people that are in this film, including you guys, by the way.
That is true.
Talk about
must say, I am brilliant in it, too.
I have to thank you for including us. I mean, certainly we're not video game experts, but we are both players of games, and I guess you had us in to kind of comment from the freedom of speech aspect of things. And
sure,
I
had
really
you in there, and I had you in there for that reason. That's correct. And what happened really was I became a Free Talk Live listener about a year and a half ago now as I was researching my documentary, specifically the different media appearances that Jack Thompson had done, because he really is sort of at the forefront of a group of people who are concerned about violent video games, particularly being sold to young people, and I came across Free Talk Live. And so what I did was realize, you know, if I'm going to ask people about this video game that I made in an interview, I may not be the best person to conduct these interviews. So there were a lot of interviews with people that I thought would be perhaps more critical of the game or myself, that I had film colleagues of mine from my undergrad years go do.
Uh-huh.
And much like many of the other interviews, you know, I supplied some contact information to a number of people that work for me, and they approached various individuals, including Thompson, to be in the film.
I see. I sort of had the feeling you might have gone about it that way and sort of bringing someone else as an intermediary.
The film really got credibility because you went out and interviewed a lot of people that disagree, you know, from a ideological standpoint.
Yeah, there was some senator from New York. He was gross.
You had to have it.
There was who else was in there? Oh, the Parents Television Council guy was even in there. One of those
guys. That's right. Yeah, I mean, what I did is I tried to handpick some people who weren't just like men on the street who said, this game is stupid, I don't like it. I tried to pick people who represented different points of view that were strongly opposed to mine. I mean, one that was very prominent was the gentleman who outed me when I was still the anonymous creator of the game.
Mm.
You know, I knew he had to be in the film, so I approached him, and, you know, it was an interesting dance, because I didn't want to be Michael Moore and walk in with my camera to meet Charlton Heston and just kind of, like, exploit and confront people. I wanted to really get their side of the issue, and so I tried to, as I was editing the film, et cetera, try to really get the kernel of why people who disagreed with the game or with, you know, some aspect of video games, why they really disagreed. I wasn't interested in, like, skewering people's perspective.
Yeah, I liked how it was pretty all-encompassing. You really did cover a wide range of opinions.
Now, Danny, I got the film, and this is not the first film I've been asked to view, and then
as part of being on the show,
perhaps we'd talk about it, and you know those kind of things. And I haven't gotten a lot of films that I've enjoyed watching, in the course of my work. There's been lots of movies I've enjoyed. This is the best documentary I've seen in a long time.
Even without you in it, Mark, it would have been better.
I am brilliant. I must say, I'm brilliant. But I just, I knew that I was going to be in it for a grand total of, you know, 47 seconds or whatever. And the rest of it was going to be me saying, oh, God, I got to watch. And I originally had told Ian, yeah, I don't think it's going to take me a couple of weeks to watch this. But I made an effort to watch it the day that Ian and I talked, you know, a little bit. I figured I'll watch 10 minutes a day. That way I can get through it. You know, like taking a little cod liver oil, sipping on it. Oh, my God, it was awesome. I finished it that night.
Fantastic.
Wow, thank you. I mean, it sounds like you went into it thinking it was going to suck or something. Huh?
I did. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth, Danny. I mean, but I'm totally got converted. Imagine how hard it is to convert somebody with that expectation.
That's well. What did it for you, man? What was it about that kept you from turning it off after 10 minutes or whatever?
I'm no expert. I wish I could give you some kind of feedback and use the terminology that filmmakers would use to be able to tell you why it is.
It's competent. It doesn't drag.
To me, it was good as something. I would have expected to see this on PBS or like you know one of the channels that I generally watch, like the History Channel kind of feel. It had that well-researched, smart feel to it. It was it moved along. I never felt like oh my God. I don't want to listen to this person one more sentence. It was fast paced.
Well,
that's
thank
the best
you.
I can
let
do for
me it. Let me tell you, that film was the result of about 50 hours of interviews that got cut down. I remember when Ian and I were hanging out after the interview, I described the process that I was going to undertake to make this film, and Ian was a bit surprised that it would take me over a year to do this, but I knew that it would because the film went through 7 drafts, 7 cuts, and I screened them to different audiences and got a lot of feedback. So the movie that you watched is the result of many, many people giving their insight into what was working and not working to really cut it into the best film. This was by no means like something I sat down and did in a weekend.
No, it sure wasn't. This was just like this. I sincerely believe I saw Bowling for Columbine. I saw something 9/11. What's Fahrenheit 9/11? Yeah. Michael Moore's documentaries. It was like that. It was produced. It's sort of that fast paced. It wasn't as single sided as Moore's stuff is. Moore doesn't present another side. And I think that it's gonna. If he got awards from the Academy, then I think you'll get one. I'm crazy, but whatever. I think that's what I believe.
I don't know what it takes to get submitted for those awards, but certainly it deserves to be considered, no doubt about that.
It's
I don't know what
really,
sort of
really good
inside circles you have to run around in order to even get considered.
So what I'm doing now is the film is available for sale on my website, mostly because I want to raise funds to continue to send it to festivals. It's kind of this weird loop that an independent film goes on. But
yeah, you know what? I'd like to talk more about the business side of things. If you'll hang on, Daniel, we're going to bring you back. And by the way, we're still trying to get Jack Thompson on board here. He asked for a reminder email today. I sent that to him. He responded to it. So it's not like he didn't get what he requested. So we're still waiting on Jack.
And it's likely he'll be on. I mean, it's just...
I don't know. We've left a message. Late. We have no idea what's going to happen at this point. So I'm not going to make any promises here. 800-259-9231. But we do have Danny, and you can call with your questions. It's Free Talk Live.
Prepare for an uncertain future with DVDs from the winner of 13 Telly Awards. Hood's Woods is the world leader in survival instructional videos. Hood's Woods produces an outstanding collection of survival DVDs, from cave cooking to survival basics to home survival DVDs, covering topics such as food storage and home emergency planning. You will learn survival techniques for use in the wild and in your very own home, used by scouts, the military, and families around the world. If you would like to learn more about survival, trapping, cave cooking, navigation, tracking, desert survival, and much more. Visit survival.com and browse through the largest assortment of survival DVDs online. For the low price of only $19.95 each, you can also purchase the entire 24-DVD Hood's Woods collection by going to survival.com. To place your order or to request a free catalog, call 888-257-2847. That's 888-257-2847. Or visit us online at survival.com. That's survival.com. The world leader in survival instructional videos.
Hi, this is Alex Jones, and I want to talk to you about the high price of gasoline. It's no secret that gasoline quality is poor, even though we're paying record prices at the pump. I have run across a company called SFR, who has developed two products that improve gas mileage. Instead of paying a mechanic as much as $300 to clean your injection system, Protecta Complete Fuel System Treatment cleans to 95% of new engine condition, improving mileage in only one tank full. Protecta Engine Treatment not only reduces friction, but it extends the life of your engine. Let's face it, with the high price of gasoline, it's time to take action. Purchase a protective fuel system treatment for only $9.95 and receive a free engine treatment, which is a $12.95 value free. Call 888-USE-SFR1. That number again is 888-USE-SFR1 or check them out online at oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. And it's safe for all cars. Act now.
Hi, this is Dave from Ready Reserve Foods. I have been waiting patiently for the government and mainstream media to inform you of what is turning out to be the biggest problem facing the world in the last 50 years. For the last 3 years, the Earth has consumed more food than it has been able to produce, and it has now finally caught up with us. In the U.S., commodities such as flour and rice are already being rationed, and the next rice crop won't be available for another 4 to 5 months. It's fall in the Southern Hemisphere, and many countries are short the food necessary to make it through the winter and have stopped exporting certain commodities altogether. Remember our trade deficit? Trillions of dollars have stacked up outside the country and are now rushing in to buy our food production at any price. By late summer, if not early fall, it is likely our government will step in and control food and food exports under martial law. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit us at www.readyreservefoods.com, 1-800-453-2202.
According to the EPA, our indoor air is many times more polluted than outdoor air. One child in 10 suffers from asthma. How can we improve the air we breathe? The answer is clear. Himalayan crystal salt lamps from Ionic Salts. These lamps naturally improve indoor air quality without adding toxic ozone. Lighted Himalayan crystal salt lamps neutralize allergens and irritants in the air, including dander, pollen, mold, and fungi, and are effective in reducing symptoms of asthma, allergies, headaches, and airborne vapors from paint, furniture, and carpeting. Ionic Salts provides premium quality lamps, handcrafted from salt, which has been in solid form for 250 million years. It is indeed a pristine piece of our planet, containing no man-made chemicals or pollutants. Ionic Salts is your place to find peace and pleasure, ambiance with benefits. Visit ionicsalts.com to see for yourself the true beauty of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, along with many other great purely natural products. That's ionicsalts.com. Ionic Salts. See the beauty. Breathe the difference.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is the live Saturday edition of the program, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site are free, so enjoy those on us, including the Shrine of Female Listeners. Dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their validated photo and prove they listen to the show. Just go to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. Shrine.freetalklive.com.
What mischief is the iron fist of the state up to lately? And who is the anarchy boogeyman, and why should you be afraid of him? AnarchyInYourHead.com is a webcomic about the philosophy of freedom in its purest form. Check it out every Friday for a new strip and find bonus materials throughout the week, all at AnarchyInYourHead.com. That's AnarchyInYourHead.com. It's completely free. It's a webcomic. It's great.
We're back with Danny LaDonne. He is the programmer of Super Columbine Massacre RPG, also filmmaker by trade, and the director of the soon-to-be-released Playing Columbine. Danny, when is that coming out?
Yeah, so the film is kind of released in a number of ways. The very first thing I did is put it for sale on my site. Right now it's for sale for $35 because it's not meant to be like the general release of the film. Mm-hmm. It's for people who've been bugging me for about a year now to get to see it, basically. So what it's doing now is it's going to a lot of film festivals, and after it screens there, it can actually enter the sort of buyer's market for independent films. And eventually you should be able to get it in Blockbuster or Netflix or something like that.
That's pretty
the goal,
exciting.
Man. So that's what I'm working towards.
So do you think that this is going to end up being profitable, or is it going to be something where you just sort of make a name for yourself and then maybe the next one will be profitable? What's your plan?
Well, the good news is these days you can make a documentary particularly for not much money, and the turnaround that it can make is substantial. This isn't going to gross something like what Fahrenheit 9/11 did, obviously, because that had Miramax, et cetera, behind it and a huge marketing campaign. But, you know, the film, I'm not shy about saying, cost me about $12,000 to make.
Wow.
So the turnaround on that, as you can imagine, is not going to be that difficult to achieve.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just sold DVDs, it wouldn't take very many DVD sales to really make your money back there.
That's right. One of the people in the film who you've also interviewed is Brian Fleming, who's a filmmaker. He made the film The God Who Wasn't There.
Mm-hmm.
And he succeeded totally outside the system just by selling off his website. So if all else fails, I have confidence that I'll be able to succeed that way.
Well, I'm sure we'll send you at least a handful of sales here tonight. People can go to playingcolumbine.com and get on board for the limited edition DVD. Lou, we can talk more about that in a little bit, but we actually did manage to roust up old Jack Thompson. He's on the line with us. Jack Thompson, the infamous, I guess at this point, lawyer who has been working very hard to get new governmental restrictions on the sales of violent video games. Would that be appropriate, Jack?
First of all, I'm not terribly old. 56 is the new 46. Secondly, infamous maybe among certain gamers, not among all gamers, and certainly not infamous among parents and many parents and family groups and so forth. So I guess it depends on who you talk to. Now, what was the question?
I don't know. But before we go on, Jack, I wanted to congratulate you and thank you, number one, for coming back on Free Talk Live after our last interview didn't end too well. And secondly, we actually got some related news about something going on.
He's sticking it to the man in the Florida court system.
Yeah, you uncovered something really serious down there in Florida where apparently they're now targeting you as a result of you uncovering this. But you uncovered the fact that apparently certain judges down there had not actually bothered to correctly sign their oath of office, and that it was forged. And I mean, you deserve congratulations for Jack.
Well, I appreciate that. Video games and me aside, I am a lawyer. I care about the law. I also, we all care about the Constitution. And just a brief tour of that, very brief. Oaths of office are very important. In fact, oaths are very important. If you didn't have witnesses under oath, you'd have no sanction against them for perjury, and therefore no way to compel telling the truth. Translate that into oaths of office, whereby officers have to swear allegiance to the Constitution and to the laws, and indeed the first act of Congress, once the Constitution was enacted, was ratified, a statute compelling officers to take an oath of office. And indeed, the federal government mandates that judges, this was news to me until this body of law, you know, became something I had to study, state judges have to swear allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and to the laws of the country and to the state. And what's rather remarkable is a huge number of Florida as well as other states officials have never signed these oaths. And that's very serious, because if you haven't signed an oath and in effect pledged allegiance to the Constitution, then you can't hold anyone accountable for breaching it. So
right, you're not really a judge at that point. That's
true, and I don't want to get too arcane here, but it has
a consequence. I just wanted to give you props where it was deserved,
Jack. That's nice of you. Well, we all love the Constitution. We all maybe have a different...
I don't know.
We all maybe have a different... Well, it's a...
I think the Constitution was a good try, but really, as Lysander Spooner said, it has either authorized all of the tyranny that we have today or was powerless to stop it. So,
the Constitution is a restraint on government, and that's a good thing.
I'm for that, and my partner just sounds nuts when he says stuff like
well,
that.
Well, anyway, so Jack, did you get your advanced copy of Playing Columbine yet?
I've been busy. I've been busy with the Florida Bar, so I haven't been able to watch it yet.
It's awesome. It really is.
Oh, no, it's great. I've seen excerpts of it, and Danny, you're to be commended. Good for you.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm not really sure what this conversation is supposed to be about. We just figured...
Oh, let's talk about banning
video
games.
Can I say... Let me say, I've gotten a lot of death threats and obscene phone calls in the last couple of weeks particularly, and I love kids who call me and threaten to kill me and castrate me and so forth, and their point is that the games have not affected their attitudes. I love that.
Right.
But when they calm down and when we actually have a conversation, I've done interviews with kids who are working on their term papers, and I'm delighted to do that. I remember being a student myself. They seem somewhat surprised to hear what my core issue here is, and it's the only issue for me, and that is that mature-rated games shouldn't be sold to kids in the age groups below the age rating. That's it.
So you would never call for a ban on violent video games?
No, of course not.
Wait, Jack. I remember you said on Fox News specifically that Manhunt 2 is the one game that should be banned outright.
On that issue, yeah, because indeed that was relating to what the UK had done. They said it was inappropriate for adults, and I do think I stand corrected. That's one game that may be so far over the line as to be bannable, but in fact,
now, Jack, wait a minute.
In reality, that's never going to happen.
Thank you, because the last time you were on the show, you told us that you at one time in your life were a libertarian. By the way, you're still the first and only person I've ever talked to who's gone back from being a libertarian. And so as a libertarian, you must have understood that when you ban things, it just goes underground, right? And it just becomes, if anything, more dangerous, just as we've seen with the war on drugs.
Churchill once famously said, if you're not a liberal when you're young, you don't have a heart. And if you're not a conservative when you're old, you don't have a brain. So I'm a recovering libertarian.
And
I think there is a role for government in as a last resort in certain instances. But I would say the real issue for me is whether or not games like Grand Theft Auto 4 and Manhunt ought to be available to people under the age of 17 in the U.S. or under 18 elsewhere, and the answer for me is no. I think most gamers agree with me on that.
You would be also pleased then to know that the Federal Trade Commission found that now only 20% of the time can underage gamers purchase M-rated games in their latest sting operation.
Yeah, that's their recent figures. I wonder how accurate that is. In fact, Secret Shopper test was done, let's see, where was it, in Detroit, I think, and they found 50% of the time, and this was just in the last few weeks, kids as young as 13 were able to get in and get them. But, we're making progress.
Sure.
Some blame or some credit for that. I think we got to move in that direction. I think the industry is smart to be moving in that direction.
Jack and Danny, hang on.
People like me off their back.
We're going to bring you back. Hang on. If you've got a question for Danny LaDonna or Jack Thompson, we've got them both on the line, and you can get on too at 800-259-9231, but you better do it soon. Only going to do this for one more segment here. 800-259-9231. This is your show. You bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live. Are you remodeling your kitchen or bath? Perhaps you just want to easily update the look of those old cabinets or that old set of drawers. Interknobs.com offers a wide variety of knobs, pulls, bath accessories, and plumbing fixtures for every taste and budget. Free Talk Live listeners can save 10% on all Interknobs.com merchandise by using code FTL at checkout. That's Interknobs.com. InterKnobs.com. Friendly service and wholesale prices for knobs, pulls, and more at Interknobs.com. And don't forget, use code FTL to save 10%.
Have you made one of those New Year's resolutions to lose weight? Are those extra pounds weighing you down and making you feel fat? Diets are a dime a dozen, and they all work a little bit, but they require people to change their lives and forego the foods they love. I've been introduced by a doctor to a product that can cause you to lose up to 25 pounds in just 9 days, without requiring you to permanently change your diet. Go to FTLDiscount.com, read some real testimonials, and find out how to order. FTLDiscount.com. It doesn't matter if you have a little to lose or a whole lot. FTLDiscount.com.
By the age of 60, half of all men have a prostate-related problem. Is there an alternative way to relieve suffering and pain of an enlarged prostate? There sure is. It's called Poulien, and it's offered exclusively from NaturallyPure.com. Poulien is a patented supplement for the treatment of prostatitis and BHP, also known as an enlarged prostate. Formulated by a Chinese master herbalist, Poulien contains vital nutrients proven to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects on the prostate. Put an end to those frequent trips to the bathroom with no adverse side effects. Right now, a two-bottle treatment is available for the low price of $49.95. Call 805-434-5444. That's 805-434-5444. Or visit them online at naturally, that's 1L and naturallypure.com. That's NaturallyPure.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 10% off of your order. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Stop the agony, stop the pain. NaturallyPure.com, your source for prostate health.
My cracked heels were always my nemesis. All my life, I've had dry heels and rough, thickened skin on the soles and sides of my feet. Then my podiatrist told me about Calyx ointment. I am amazed how fast and efficient this product is at softening the hard spots. Since using Calyx, the split and cracked skin on my heels is gone, leaving them smooth and healthy looking. I'm so grateful and no longer embarrassed in sandals. If you have dry, cracked feet, I recommend Calyx ointment. You'll find it in the foot care section at drugstores, mass retailers, and supercenters.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Live is the live Saturday edition of the show, and you can bring up anything. The toll-free number for you, 800-259-9231. But right now we're talking about video game violence. What started all this was Playing Columbine, a movie that's going to be released pretty soon by our friend Danny LaDonne. He is the programmer of the Super Columbine Massacre RPG. He actually decided to put us in his movie, and we certainly do appreciate the free publicity as a result of that. Of course, you get some in return here, Danny. You can go to PlayingColumbine.com and purchase the limited edition DVD, which is a great way to get this movie into your home in advance of pretty much anyone else. The price is a little higher than you might expect, but that's because, Danny, you'll personally autograph any one of these that goes out the door, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I'll do that. And the other reason is so that later when it gets the distributor, it won't be as though the market has already been tapped and there'd be no business interest in releasing it in a wider fashion.
Very good. So working diligently behind the scenes to get this film distributed. It is a fantastic documentary all about the controversy, specifically over the Columbine game, Super Columbine Massacre RPG, but also about video game violence and free speech in general. We actually
Let's be clear. The reason it's excellent is I'm in it.
Now, Mark,
you do have beautiful hair, Jack.
Now, Jack Thompson is also with us here. He's also in the film, and you may have heard of his name before. He's made a bit of a name for himself in the world of legal land, trying to bring more regulations into the video game industry as far as violent games are concerned.
Yeah, let me say something on that. Anyone in their right mind doesn't want government to do anything if it can
be
avoided.
That's true. They're bad at it.
I don't want government at all, in fact.
And I met with Strauss-Zelnick a year ago last week in a Central Park West beautiful condo.
Strauss-Zelnick is the guy who published games like Grand Theft Auto, et cetera.
Well, he's the chairman of Take-Two Rockstar Games. And I said, Strauss, you know, there's a way to get rid of people like me in this whole issue, and that is tell retailers not to sell your mature-rated games to people under 17 and tell them if they do, and if you catch them doing it, you'll withhold product from them.
Hmm.
And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to sell it to whomever I want.
Is that where it ends? Jack, does it end there for you?
Yes. Like,
for instance, if I, as a 27-year-old, was to purchase the new Grand Theft Auto game and then gift it to my 10-year-old cousin, would you want to regulate something like that, or are you
absolutely
only concerned
not
with the retailer?
No, that's a parent's prerogative. That's an adult's prerogative, and that's where it should stop. And that's why I think it was eminently reasonable to say to Strauss, my good friend Strauss, just do it that way. Have a private and a market solution, and that is, as other manufacturers do, limit the sale of your product to the people who to whom it should be sold, and use your own distribution pressures and restrictions to make it happen. And
well, as you might imagine, we really appreciate voluntary solutions on this program and market-based solutions.
But they won't do that.
But you also have to understand, though, Jack. I mean, certainly you know that once government gets its hands into something, it never stops there.
Yeah.
It's always going to expand. So even though you only want the government to perhaps regulate the sale of the game, inevitably some other brilliant government bureaucrat's going to decide, well, now we need to restrict anybody having these games.
What you do is you take the pressure off the industry by being able to say, look, we're doing absolutely everything we can by saying to the retail network, we are sanctioning them for selling it to people below 17. And if they did that, Hillary Clinton would have nothing to talk about. None of these state legislators would have anything to talk about because the industry could say, we are very effectively restricting this. And by the way, in that recent FTC study, they found that GameStop had only a 9% failure rate in the sale of mature-rated games to kids under 17. The reason for that is, and it's in large part because of our lawsuit against them in Alabama, GameStop has said any clerk or any store manager where the clerk sells a game to anyone under 17 that's mature rated is terminated on the spot. Zero tolerance. And so GameStop has had tremendous compliance rates because they take it seriously.
Now, I have a question that's on a related
and that's
topic
a private here. Sector remedy.
It is.
Because I know Jack is well known for perhaps his prediction of Columbine, as he likes to call it, and similar school shootings, which often inevitably elicit this kind of discussion. Indeed, that was the purpose of making my film. One thing I wonder, Jack, if the issue comes down to limiting the sale or restricting the sale of mature-rated games to minors, what do you make of the fact that so many of the school shooters in the last several years have been far above the age of 17 or 18 years old?
Well, not a lot of them, because once you get far above that age, you're not in school.
Well, I'm thinking about Cho Sung Wee or Kim Beer Gill or Steve.
Well, you know, there's let me explain. I think the only thing that's doable is using the age of majority, 18, as the legal cutoff point. Number one, and the older you are, the less likely you are to have harm done, just in a general sense, to your brain. We can get into the brain science. I don't think we have time, but brain scan studies, Harvard, Indiana University, Michigan State, show that the younger your brain is, the more you process it in the midbrain, and that's the part that leads to copycatting behavior. The older you are, the more the frontal lobes are involved, and the more you are able to differentiate and tell that this is make-believe and is not you know, you don't get sucked into it and have as compelling an experience and as disturbing an experience as you get older. So with Cho, and I know there's quite a debate about this, but in fact the Washington Post reported that he was an obsessive player of Counter-Strike Half-Life when he was in high school, and the New York Times reported that also in New York Times Sunday magazine, that his parents hoped that when he went to college he would stop obsessively playing violent video games. The fact is, and studies out of Michigan, University of Michigan and elsewhere show that the effects of these games are very long term. So to answer your point, I think what we've got is a generation of 20-somethings now who have been playing these games for maybe 10 years, and the residual effects of them on, not for everyone obviously, but on the margins, kids or young people who are at risk for various reasons are coming of age, and of course you're going to see some kids that have grown into young adults and they're going to act out in this way. They may be emergent schizophrenic, they may have other risk factors, but I think we can all agree, I think most of us can agree, that a game that's rated as inappropriate for somebody under 17 shouldn't be sold to them. In fact, the industry really can't argue against that since they age rate them. And therefore, I'd say the longer you can keep these things out of the hands of of kids, the better and the more likely they are to not be harmed by them. That's my whole point.
There are a couple of things that are worth pointing out here. One is that the official VTech panel after the investigation was concluded at Virginia Tech, they found that Cho's favorite game was Sonic the Hedgehog, which I think to a lot of people is hardly the first person, gore fest that.
Well, let me first hang on a second. They never found his hard drive on his computer. Did you know that? It's missing. Secondly, his suite mates don't know what the hell he was doing because they didn't know he had automatic weapons in his room. This guy was like a ghost. So they had no idea what he was into.
The only citation that you can provide is a Washington Post article, which has since been removed or omitted.
It's been removed because of pressure put on them, but you can't remove the comments of his friends and classmates from high school who said he was heavily and obsessively into Counter-Strike Half-Life.
I'd like to insert something here, and that is that when you're talking, you did mention the margins, Jack, and the fact is the vast majority, the super majority of video game players,
of course.
I am one of them, are completely well-adjusted, and they had no problem discerning right from wrong and what's real and what's not. And throughout time, there have been different things that people have called into attention and said, look out, kids, we need to protect kids from, for instance, comic books and AC/DC. And Dungeons and Dragons, and there's always been the crazy
automobiles.
Kids.
I mean, you know, this goes back as far as there were kids. I'm sure that they were warning.
Well, how about
kids
pornography?
About pornography, probably.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Do you agree with that?
What about?
Do you think we ought to be selling pornography? Hardcore pornography to 12-year-olds.
I think it should be up to the vendors and the retailers and the marketplace
to
decide.
No,
yeah. We've had this conversation before. Everyone can go and look at that. I think it's curious.
It's against
to me
the law.
After these shootings from 74 to 2000, the Secret Service looked into all of these school shooters, and they found that only 1 in 8 shooters had an interest in violent video games.
Oh, no. And they found that the one common denominator up through Columbine of all of the perpetrators was immersion in violent entertainment.
One thing's for sure, we're short on time. I want to invite you both to hang through to hour number 2 because there are calls on the line for you. Are you both able to hang through for a little bit, segment?
Yeah, I'm down.
When do you come back from that?
We'll come back at 8:06 Eastern Time.
Okay, great. I can give you at least through to the segment after. Yeah.
Okay,
right,
great. Gentlemen, hang on. We're going to bring both of you back. Danny LaDonne from PlayingColumbine.com and Jack Thompson. Certainly, you've probably heard his name before. Also, your calls are coming up because I know they could keep going back and forth. We've got to get to the calls. More coming up. Hour 2.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president, a serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage, if you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple, more of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Attention.